The Melba Story. The story of Australia's most famous woman. The true story, fully authenticated, and featuring another wonderful Australian singer, Glenda Raymond. The Melba Story. It's the year 1887, and Melba, then a young wife and mother, Helen Armstrong, is studying in Paris under the great teacher, Madame Marchesi. She's just been engaged to sing in an opera season at Brussels, but instead of being overjoyed, she comes to Marchesi looking very troubled.
What has happened? Have you had some bad news from home?
No, madame. My father's quite well.
Then your husband?
Charles is all right, too. As a matter of fact, he's coming to Brussels to hear me make my debut.
Then what has gone wrong? Oh, I know your poor little boy. He is ill.
On the contrary, madame. I've never known a boy to be in better spirits.
Oh, I give up. I will not guess any more. You tell me yourself.
I've had a visit from Mr. Strakosch.
That one. What does he want?
He says he'll prevent me from singing at Brussels.
Do not believe him, Nelly. He can do nothing.
Oh, but he was furious. He said he'd ruin me. He said I'd never be heard of again.
Talk, talk, talk.
But what shall I do?
Get yourself ready for Brussels.
You think it'll be all right, madame?
I know it will. Think no more about Strakosch. Oh, my dear, there are far more important matters to consider. And the first of these is your name.
My name?
It must be changed.
Why?
Can you imagine a critic saying Gildar is born again in the person of Nelly Armstrong? Ludicrous.
I see nothing wrong with the name of Armstrong.
Armstrong is a perfectly good name, but not for an opera star. We must choose a name which is easy to say, easy to remember.
What about my maiden name, then? Mitchell.
Oh, that is even worse than Armstrong. No. It must be a manufactured name. Let me see. Where were you born, Nelly? In what district?
Richmond.
No good. What is this Richmond town?
It's a suburb of Melbourne.
Melbourne? That could be better. Melbourne. No, too long, too clumsy.
How about Melba?
Yes. Yes, that is it. Melba.
Madame Melba.
Yes, Mr. Lopezida?
You must face the audience when you sing. You must never face upstage.
Where is upstage?
It means the back of the stage. If you sing in that direction, the audience will never hear you. And the Monet is a very large theater. Look out there, my dear. And imagine all those seats filled with people. Tier upon tier of eager opera lovers, all waiting to hear your voice.
It's a terrifying thought.
It would be terrifying if you could not give them what they wanted. But you can, I'm sure of that. And you also are sure, are you not?
I'll do my best.
Good. Now, we go back to the point where Gilda tells her father the story of her meeting with the Duke. Remember, she is terribly distressed. Although at the beginning, she tries to control her emotions. But then, as she goes on with her story, the tone becomes more and more dramatic.
Remember what I told you, Nelly. Do exactly as I said.
Yes, madame.
Please, Madame Marchesi, do not interrupt the rehearsal.
I am responsible for my pupil, monsieur.
She is no longer your pupil.
What is that you say?
She is Madame Melba, leading artist of the Théâtre Le Monet.
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
It is no more than the truth. Now, gentlemen, let us go back to the entrance of Gilda. Are you ready, madame?
Yes, I'm ready.
Come then. You begin the scene kneeling at Rigoletto's feet. Good. Good. Now quiet, please. Tutti le feste. Could not have been better.
Nelly, you forgot the directions I gave you.
But, madame, I couldn't remember everything.
You remember what this man told you?
Listen, man. I am the producer, Madame Marchese, and I am also a director.
That does not give you the right to alter my instructions.
I am paying Madame Meubert 3,000 francs a month for the privilege.
3,000 francs a month? Why, in a few years' time, she will be getting more than that for one appearance.
Can you tell me, please, where I can find Madame Meubert?
That is Madame Melba. Here, on the stage. The young one.
Thank you. Who is this?
What do you want?
I wish to speak with Madame Melba.
I'm Madame Melba.
I have a document for you, madame. Here.
Thank you.
No, do not take it, Nelly.
Too late. She has it. By what right do you come into my theater?
By the right of the law, monsieur. I am from the Ministry of Justice.
Mr. Lapacida, what is this paper?
Let me see.
Nelly, what have you been doing?
Nothing, madame.
Then what is this legal document?
I will tell you what it is, madame. It is a legal order forbidding Melba to appear in this theater.
Strakosch!
So, you knew about this? Why did you not tell me she was already under contract?
Oh, it was nothing, just a formality.
Formality? You, madame Melba. Did you know you were under contract to Strakosch?
Well, yes, in a way.
In a way? Did you sign a contract?
Yes.
And you thought it meant nothing?
I didn't know. Madame Marchese said...
Madame Marchese is an unscrupulous woman.
How dare you?
You have misled this girl. You have misled me. We are both ruined.
Mr. Lapacida, just what does this mean?
It means that Strakosch has a case against us. It means that he has the law on his side.
But suppose we defied him?
Ugh, impossible.
You mean... he's won?
Yes, of course he's won.
Can he do this to me?
I'm afraid he can.
But what are we going to do?
Madame Marchese.
As to you, my dear, and as to Madame Marchese, I have no answer. But as to myself, I am going to look for another Gilda.
In just a moment, we'll return to the Melba story. The Melba story.
You mean, Mr. Lapasida, that I'm not to sing for you at all?
This application by Strakash makes it impossible.
But what can he prove?
It makes no difference, Madame Marchese. The case could perhaps be argued and perhaps you could win, but too late for my purpose.
Couldn't you postpone the opening of the opera?
My dear Madame Melba, you are not serious.
Well, I just thought...
Is it necessary to open with Rigoletto? Could you not substitute another opera with another star?
And suppose I did, what then? How long would it be before this case could be heard?
Well, we could move things along a little.
How?
Now, I have some influence. I could see certain people.
Perhaps a cable to my father might help. He's rather an important man.
And where is your father?
In Australia.
You know, sneaky good alter the course of events 10,000 miles away?
Well, he could try.
Yeah, I'm afraid you do not know our legal system, my dear. Things move very slowly in the court.
I find it hard to believe that our journey to Brussels has been in vain.
Then I will show you, Madame Marchese, that it is no figment of the imagination. The rehearsal is over. Everyone can go home.
Who is it?
Get up at once, Nelly. Put on a dressing gown and come out quickly.
Why? What's happened?
Lapisida is here. He wants to see you.
Wants to see me? At this hour? Whatever for?
I do not know. He refuses to say a word except in your presence. Are you ready?
Just putting my gown on.
Hurry, hurry.
I'm coming now.
Nelly, you look terrible. Have you been crying all night?
Yes, I couldn't help it.
Oh, well, I suppose it is quite understandable. Anyway, Lapisida must be quite used to tears by now. Come along. He is waiting in here.
Is she up?
Yes, here she is.
Good morning, madame.
Good morning, Mr. Lapisida. You have some news for me?
I have.
About Mr. Strakosch?
Yes.
Has he withdrawn from the case?
The case is still before the court.
Then what's happened?
Strakosch is no more.
What do you mean?
He is not dead.
He passed away a few hours ago.
Oh. Poor man. Poor man.
Nelly. Nelly.
Do you realize what this means to you, Madame Melba?
It means that you can make your debut after all.
Yes, I know. But I wish it hadn't happened this way. Poor Mr. Strakosch. I'll never forget him. Never.
Are you feeling all right, Nelly?
Yes.
You realize that in a few minutes' time, you are going to face a great audience.
Yes.
And why are you not more excited?
I was hoping Charles would be here.
Your husband? I suppose he decided it was not worthwhile making the trip from Ireland.
But he said he'd come. He wrote me a letter only last week.
Well, it is of no importance. Now remember, Nelly, keep downstage as much as possible. And face the audience as much as possible. Never mind the other singers. Let them take care of themselves. Do you hear me?
What are you saying, madame?
Are you mad, Nelly? Concentrate on what lies ahead of you. Forget about this husband of yours.
Come in. Charles!
Nelly. My dear.
I will leave you two together.
Oh, no, please don't go. Madame Marchese, may I present my husband, Charles Armstrong.
Your servant, ma'am.
He has a very good manner, this husband of yours, Nelly. Oh. He kisses my hand like a Frenchman.
No, ma'am, like an Irishman.
Oh, Charles, it's good to see you again.
It's wonderful to see you too, Nelly. You're looking well. And how's my son?
Never better. He's fast asleep at the moment, in the very good hands of my friend, Madame Gavette.
I must see him before I leave.
There's plenty of time. We'll get this performance over first.
Yes, yes, you must go, Mr. Armstrong. This child has a great deal ahead of her this evening.
I know. And I wish you all the best, my dear.
Thank you, Charles.
I know you're going to be a great success. I'll see you after the performance.
Oh, he is very handsome, Nelly.
Yes, he's fine. I'll be all right now, madame. I feel quite confident.
Now, for the guest.
Thank you.
Is it up? A new star has appeared in the operatic firmament. A star named Melba.
Final curtain, Charles. Is it really all over?
All over indeed, Nellie.
Why are you looking at me like that?
I'm seeing you for the first time. I'm wondering why I was fool enough not to realize that you were destined to be one of the great figures of the world.
Charles, you really felt that?
Nellie, my dear, I felt that... I felt...
Glass for Madame Melba.
Oh, thank you. Just put them down there.
There you are.
Yes, Charles.
Nellie, I just want to say...
The newspaper reporters are waiting to see you, madam.
Oh, later, later.
Very well.
I'm sorry, Charles. What were you saying?
This isn't going to be easy, my dear.
Nellie! The Queen of Belgium has asked for you. You must go to her box immediately.
Oh, I'm afraid I really must go, Charles.
Yes, of course.
I'll be back as soon as I can. Charles, the Queen told me I was wonderful. She took my hand and... Where's Charles?
He could not... Wait, Nellie.
Couldn't wait? But where has he gone?
I am afraid, my dear, that this is not going to be very easy for you.
What do you mean, madame?
Your husband and I have had a little talk together. He told me what was in his heart. And I understood.
What did he say to you?
That from now on, your paths lay in different directions.
Oh, no.
He said that he had been terribly wrong, and that time would only make that all the more obvious. He told me to wish you well, Nellie, and to give you, as his last message, these three simple words. God bless you.
Parting of Charles and Helen Armstrong, the end of a marriage, and the beginning of a reign as Queen of Song. But for that, we must wait until the next chapter of The Melba Story. The Melba Story was written by John Ormiston Reed and produced by Dorothy Crawford. The Australian Symphony Orchestra was conducted by Hector Crawford. The role of Melba was spoken by Patricia Kennedy and sung by the Australian coloratura soprano, Glenda Raymond.